to What Saith the Scripture, a ministry of Orlando Bible Church, 4405 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, where Scott Letzring is the pastor. Orlando Bible Church is in need of your support to keep this ministry thriving. Send your contribution to Orlando Bible Church, 4405 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, 32803. If you are searching for a church home, come worship with us tomorrow. Sunday Bible School begins at 9:45, morning worship at 11 o'clock a.m. Or for more information on what we believe, visit our website at orlandobiblechurch.com. Now, here's Pastor Letzring.
For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:9. Welcome to What Saith the Scripture, the radio voice of the Orlando Bible Church. I am Pastor Scott Letzring, and I am delighted to have Pastor Rick Searles with us this afternoon. Brother Searles, it's a joy to have you, and we thank God for your time.
Thank you, Pastor Letzring. It's a great blessing and privilege for me to be here with you and your radio listeners. I know that as we open the Word this afternoon, that it'll be a real blessing to them and to us also.
Amen. It always is. We can't outgive the Lord. The Lord knows how to make our cups overflow, and Amen. We try to give, be a blessing to others. The Lord turns it around on us. God is so good. He's so faithful. Well, listeners, we appreciate your time with us this afternoon. Some housekeeping tips as we get started. As a reminder, we are a live program, so if you'd like to give us a call, we would love to hear from you. The radio station's phone number is 407-682-9595. Again, that's 407-682-9595. You can listen to us. Many of you are listening to us through the AM dial, AM 950. And as you know or may not know, there is an FM station, FM 94.9. Some might get the sequence more clearly there. So those are a couple options, as well as the ability to stream us online live by going to the station's website, WTLN.com, and just click on the Listen Live button there. We remind you that past broadcasts can be listened to through our church's website, OrlandoBibleChurch.com. We invite you to go there, OrlandoBibleChurch.com. You can listen to past radio broadcasts as well as past messages from the services, and you can learn more things there about what we believe. Our service times, our directions, and so forth, how you can reach us. And so we just thank God for the opportunity to give you the precious Word of God this day. We're going to talk today with the theme of a believer not only knowing the will of God, but living in the will of God, following the will of God. And so we're going to talk about some of those points, and having Pastor Searles with us, a man who, by God's grace, has followed the Lord for a number of years, he and his dear wife, Carolyn, and we just thank God for them. And it's a tremendous testimony to the marvelous mercy and grace of God. And that's always how it is, Christian. You know that child of God. It's not any goodness within ourselves. It's solely because of God's love, God's grace, what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary by shedding his sinless, precious blood for the sins of the whole world, making that salvation gift available to whosoever will. May come and drink and eat of the bread of life. That means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the phone number is 407-682-9595. Pastor Searles, when we talk about the will of God, what are we talking about?
To some people, that's a great mystery. But really, God's will is not a mystery. It's not something that God hides from us. And the first thing I think we need to realize is to know what God's will is to make sure that we are a child of God.
Amen.
As he says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, is Paul speaking to the believers there. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren.
Yes.
So he's talking to the children of God. So God's going to reveal himself and his will to his children. So if an individual is not saved, as you said earlier, they do not know Christ as their Savior from their sin, then the will of God is definitely going to be a mystery to them, because he's not their Heavenly Father, and he's not going to reveal that to them until they become his child.
Amen. So they must be born again. And that's what Christ told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. You have this very religious man, religious teacher of the Jewish people, and he didn't understand what it meant to be born again.
Right. And I remember for my salvation, I didn't seek the will of God because that wasn't in what I wanted to do for my life. I wanted to become a millionaire. And so the things of God was far from me. But after the Spirit, through hearing the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and receiving him as my Savior, then I began to understand that God had a will for me.
Amen.
And it wasn't something hard, and but I knew that he was the giver of life. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says that we are to love life because of the life giver himself. And my wife and I, before we were saved, and like everyone, we really didn't understand that what life was until we became saved.
Yes.
And then we understood that we'd been given eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a privilege it was to seek him and to know what his will was for our lives. And as I think about that, back when after we were saved, the Lord spoke to us in the service, church service, at our local church back in Maranatha Bible Church in Zanesville, Ohio, concerning his will for our lives. You know, somebody said, you know, there was one time I couldn't even spell missionary. Now I are one. And, you know, that's kind of the way it was with us. But after we were saved, I knew nothing about missions, but I knew I'd been saved, and I knew I'd been given new life, and I desired the new life, and I wanted to know God more. And I began to realize that the more I read the Word of God, the more I wanted to pray to God. And the more I read and prayed, the more he revealed himself to me, and he gave me a desire to know him more. And as I did that and took one step at a time in getting to know him, he began to show me things and direct me in a way where he wanted me to go to Amen. Serve him.
Amen. You know, we know John 1:12, speaking of salvation, says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God." And, you know, you think about then what Christ said in John 10, just to piggyback on what you just said, brother, how that, you know, the thief, he said, cometh not for to steal or to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ says this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so as you just have given testimony, brother, not just with your lips, but by his grace through your lives, the way that God so wondrously saved you and your wife, he's given you that abundant life. The Lord always keeps his promises. And so as a missionary, what maybe you can back us up a bit and when did you first know that you were called to Southern Palawan, Philippines?
Let me back up a little further than that, okay?
Yes, sir.
Back when the Lord called us into missions, we were having a mission conference in our local church. And a missionary was there by the name of Bob Cable from Unevangelized Field Mission years ago. And he was talking about missions and showing his slide presentation of his ministry among the tribal people in Brazil. So as he was speaking and I was watching, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart about just making myself available. I didn't really need to know where or how and all that stuff, but I just knew that I just wanted to make myself available to the Lord for what he had for my life. Now, whatever that would be, I had no idea. And I really didn't care. I just wanted to say, here I am. Use me. You've given me life. And now I want to use it, you know, to glorify you.
Amen.
And so from that point, we just went step by step. And it's a long process, but the Lord worked through many different steps that we took to lead us into missionary work, which I never, as I said before, I couldn't even spell missionary. Now I are one, you know. The Lord just graciously worked.
Amen.
Little by little. But another way that he kept leading and guiding us was through our faithfulness in the local church, in growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, having fellowship with the brethren around the word through prayer, and just encouraging each other and reviewing God's promises and leaning not unto our own understanding And just by faith in each one of those, taking another step as the Lord directed us into missionary ministry.
Amen. You know, it's a blessing, brother, that you said a moment ago that the will of God is not just some mystery, hard to know. The child of God, first one, must be born again, truly saved, not some vain profession, but one who's genuinely been brought under the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, acknowledge the fact that they're a lost sinner under the wrath of God, and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that faith in him and his finished work on the cross of Calvary is the only way for a person to be saved and
Amen.
Given the gift of God, which is eternal life, and Christ is God's gift, no doubt, to this world. And then so he has a purpose for each life, for each believer's life. And when we read in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul makes it very clear that the believer not only can know the will of God, but that the believer is supposed to know God's perfect will for his life. And Romans 12, verse 1, the Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, again, writing to Christians, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except holy means set apart from the things of this world, set apart from sin, set apart unto the Lord, acceptable unto God. That simply means well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. And of course it is. Christ purchased us through the shedding of his blood. And be not conformed to this world. So don't be fashioned after the philosophies and the customs and everything that's of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, of course, we know that's a ministry of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and renewing our mind. That's a daily process, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect and perfect will of God. And so, as you just said, spending time in the Word of God, spending time at a Bible-believing church and fellowship with others of like precious faith, the Lord, not in some mystical way, the Lord, by his promises, by his faithfulness, has directed your steps. Praise God.
Amen. I think the Christian life is a progressive work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We are to grow and be changing every day in the image of Christ. And so the same way is in doing the will of God. It's progressive. God shows us things today. We need to be faithful and do them. Tomorrow will take care of itself. When it comes up, we'll trust him. There's a lot of unknowns out there, but we shouldn't worry about them because we know God has them taken care of. But and he's teaching us along the way through blessings, through trials. They're all for our good.
Amen.
In order that we can know him better and trust him and serve him, even in the unknowns.
Yes, sir.
He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us.
Amen. You mentioned, so the Lord called you, was working your heart into missions, and not that you knew exactly how all that was going to pan out, just simply, Lord, I receive, I want your will done, I want to follow you, here am I, send me, Lord. In essence, I want to be used of you for your glory, for your honor.
Right.
And you mentioned the importance of being in a church, in a Bible-believing church, under the ministry of the Word of God, and that's how God spoke to your heart. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read, says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And, of course, this is talking about Paul and Barnabas. And so these men, who we are going to read in chapter 13 of Acts, were sent into that first missionary journey, they spent a whole year involving themselves in the ministry at the local church.
Amen. That's what he says there in verse 1. Now these were in the church. Were in the church that were at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, and were called. But we see what they were doing. They were ministering in the church.
Amen.
So they were growing, and they were serving, and they were worshiping the Lord. And boy, how important it is to know how to worship the Lord and just to give him praise and honor and glory, even when we feel like we're lower than a snake in a wagon track. You know, we can still worship the Lord and
Amen.
Give him praise. But I remember when the Lord called us, my pastor, I, went forward and talked to him. He came out to our house, and I said, and he asked me, he said, "Now, Rick, what is it do you enjoy doing?" I said, "Well, I enjoy aviation," because I was in Marine Corps and in helicopters. And he said, "Well, maybe the Lord wants you to go into missionary aviation." And I says, "I don't know. I had no idea that there anything existed." He says, "Well, let's just pray about that, and let's write some letters to some missionary aviation groups and see what their requirements are." And so that was the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. We got letters back. Some I didn't qualify for. Most of them wanted me to go back to Bible school, get a degree, get an A&P license, get private commercial instrument ratings, and be on the mission field before age 30. And so that was a possibility, but that was another step. So it was just one step at a time. And then I had to go to Bible school, mechanic school, and but I didn't worry about what mission board, what foreign field I was going to, even if I'd even go to a foreign field. I just did one step mm-hmm. at a time. I had to get an A&P license. I went and finished that.
Mm-hmm.
Private license, I finished that. Then the next step, the next door opened. So we walked through that. So it was just a matter of steps and doors opening and just continue to follow them faithfully as the Lord led.
Amen. And God is always faithful. And so when, even in that process, if we take a left turn or we're mm-hmm. involved in something that maybe is not His will, but we know that He's faithful to lead us and to, as He's doing even now, none of us have reached perfection. He's conforming us to the image of Christ, and He's going to lead us faithfully into that
Amen.
Next step.
Amen. We may make a wrong turn, but He'll get us back on course.
Amen. The Bible says that
yes.
that one of the wonderful evidences of God's love is the way that He chastens His
Amen.
Children.
Mm-hmm.
And we need His chastening love. I mean, yes. that's vital.
Sometimes people get confused sometimes with the will of God and suffering and trials. They think if suffering and trials come into your life, well, then God's against you. Well, then God doesn't like me, or God doesn't love me. Well, God's never going to love us anymore the way He loves us now. And but yet these trials, they come from God, and they mature us. And if we don't understand that and accept that and allow God to do His perfect work in our lives through them to get us to trust Him completely, we're going to be a failure out there. You know, the mission board that we trained under, they put us in a lot of unknown situations, that things that we had to do that I've never done before. But I had to pray and ask God to help me. And He got us through that. And there was a reason for that. Once we got on the field out in the bush where we had nothing and hard times came, the adversary was crushing down on us and trying to hinder us and stop us through illness or monies or whatever it was, we could look back. And we remembered how God was faithful to us back in those early steps. And we knew He would be faithful to us now. So that helped us to stay and do the work of the ministry instead of folding and saying, you know, God's just not here. When He is.
Amen.
He is.
It reminds me, brother, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, year in heaviness through manifold temptations,
Amen.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And just a tremendous testimony to God's faithfulness.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. So now I know that recently I heard that Brooks Point Bible Church, mm-hmm. located in Southern Palawan, Philippines, mm-hmm. Just celebrated how many years of ministry?
33 years.
33 years. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
How many people today, roughly, are make up that assembly?
Well, we probably have around 200 in the church there in Brooks Point, but we have 10 outreaches from that local church out of Brooks Point among the Palawanu tribes in the mountains, the Muslims,
yes,
in the mountains, and also in the rural areas, and also among the local people in the lowlands.
Hey, amen. It's been really neat to see what, mm-hmm. as you give them report to me and some of the other churches here, what the Lord is doing there. Looking forward to hearing more about that tomorrow. By the way, to our listeners, if you're looking for a Bible-believing church, we certainly invite you. The Orlando Bible Church would love to have you. Again, that website is orlandobiblechurch.com. You can get the address, and I'll give you the address now. It's 4405 East Colonial Drive. Orlando, Florida, and The service is going to start. We have Sunday school that starts at 9:45, the main service at 11 o'clock, and Pastor Searles will be there for both the morning and evening service. Our evening service starts at 6 p.m., and he's going to break the bread of life by God's grace, and he's going to give us a report of what God is doing in that part of the world. But, brother, in my recent talks with you, it didn't start with 200 people, did it?
No, it didn't.
Maybe you can back us up to the early days of the young church at Brooks Point.
Well, the I told a story before. I don't have time today, but
right.
The church actually started out of a plane crash that I had in the jungle there at Mount Sinai. And as a result of that, I met Jose Malacao, and he's the Philippine pastor. And after the plane crash, I went into church planning, and Pastor Malacao asked me if I'd come back and help start a church in Brooks Point. So we did. After a couple of years, we went back to the Philippines and started the church, but there's just two families, our family and his family. We met on a Wednesday night, and we met in his little grass hut, Nipa hut that they had. We didn't have pulpit, we didn't have anything. We just pulled a chair out of the kitchen, brought it in the front room there on the split bamboo floor, and turned it around, put my Bible on top of it, and we began to study the book of Ephesians. And the next day we began to go out and to visit people in the town and to witness. And little by little, people began to come, and we outgrew his house very quickly.
Amen.
So we got an old storage bin down on the main street, and we filled it out, and we got another building, packed it out, and now we have a new facility. We also have a radio station like this. We have a Bible school that we started. We have 10 outreaches, like I said, and we have a translation going on of the New Testament. And so we have a lot of good things that the Lord has been doing over the last 33 years.
Amen. Looks like we do have a caller in the line. Hi, Dexter, is that you?
Hello, how are we doing today?
Doing well, Dexter. Thank you for the phone call. How can we help you today?
I was listening to the program, and by the way, I thank God for your program, for this program,
Amen. Thank the Lord.
For y'all, that y'all doing, for the kingdom. But, and I heard you, and he was mentioning about the abundance of life, that when Jesus, he said that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And I was reading over in, in Luke, and in the 15th chapter, I meant to say the 12th chapter of Luke, and at the 15th verse, and he's going to talk about, be aware of covetousness.
Yes.
And he goes on to speak about, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that think that, that when they hear about the abundance, they automatically assume that it's things as when but he's talking about life. And I heard you talking about, the sufferings and all the things, as being out in the field, that you have to encounter and that you have to endure.
Yes.
And go through and stuff like that.
Dexter, that and I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the verse, Luke 12, verse 15, Dexter's referring to a statement by Christ where he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." You talk about the gospel, the grace of God. The devil has false gospels. And one of those false gospels is that prosperity gospel that's out there today. And it's that gospel, Dexter, that promises a person, if you have the right faith, if you have the right measure of faith, then God's going to fill your bank account with all kinds of money. You're never going to be sick. You're just going to be, you give me $100, God's going to turn it into $1 million or $1,000. And that's garbage. That's Satan's lie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's
one more thing.
There's great suffering in the work of Christ. Yes, sir.
To me, when I consider, what the abundance of life is, and he goes on, to begin to tell him about, the different things, about taking thought for your life and stuff like that, what you're going to eat. He goes on to speak on these things in that same chapter, so when I hear about that abundance of life and, to be able to tell someone else, what that abundance of life is, that they're you know, if they're searching and they want to know what that abundance is, you know, and but to me it's like having the ability, you know, the, and the confidence and the power to live without, you know, the fear of how we're going to live, how we're going to make it, how we're going to eat, how we're going to be clothed, but you have a full confidence, you know, in God that He will supply your every need.
And He will. That's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm. So He takes the fear out of us, you know, living. You know,
Daxter, that abundant life really is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't
yes.
it?
Amen.
Growing in grace and knowledge of Him. He's our sufficiency.
I agree.
And it's not in things, as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, for we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, the souls of men and women and children. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the souls of those individuals are eternal. So I appreciate your emphasis on the abundant life. It's a person, and that's Christ. I appreciate
that. God bless, and y'all continue to work, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daxter.
All right.
Again, that phone number is 407-682-9595. Give us a call if you'd like. I'd love to hear from you. We're talking to Pastor Rick Searles, and a missionary. He's no longer in full-time in the Philippines, but he certainly is very much involved in mission work. He is a representative of that work, and he shares what God is doing and shares the ministry that the Lord has started with other local churches. And we thank God for the supporting churches that faithfully give to that work, and so that God's work can continue. And it's just neat. You know, it's nothing about begging. It's not, doing anything the world would have us to do or would want us to do. Is simply trusting the Lord to do what He's promised to do, and He has.
Amen.
Many needs are there for sure, and God is meeting those needs and will continue to do so. Again, that phone number is 407-682-9595. And so after the Lord started this church there in Southern Palawan with two families, he's grown it over the years, and we just thank God.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Maybe we can go to Acts chapter 13, brother, and we can see an example of how, in practice, how the Lord sent out missionaries.
Amen.
And we can see and glean from the scriptures the way the Lord does that. We've emphasized the fact that Paul and Barnabas were in the local work, were in the church at Antioch for a year. They were ministering in that local testimony. Maybe you can take us from there.
Okay, that's what it says here in verse 2. It says, and as they ministered to the Lord. See, while they were in the local church, they were still ministering to the Lord. They didn't have to go to a foreign country or somewhere else to minister to the Lord. They did it right where God had them at that time, at that moment.
Amen.
And that's where we fulfill the will of God. At this time, this moment, where He has us, what He wants us to do, as they were doing, that was a step. And then later, another step was taken, as it said there, and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
So the pastor didn't call them.
Nope.
Their best friends didn't call them.
No. And I remember that calling in my life that Sunday morning when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. When the pastor came down and said, hey, Rick, would you like to go into missions? I said, I couldn't even spell missions. It was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to my heart and allowing me to express that to my pastor, who helped me to get started in the right direction. I didn't know where to start.
Amen.
And so it all works together, the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in them, to accomplish the will of God in all of our lives, which benefits the world, really, getting the gospel out to them.
Amen.
So it was a work of the Holy Spirit, a work of God. And it said that when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away, sent them out. And as they went, they preached the gospel in every city.
Praise God.
And there were many trials. I mean, Paul was stoned and whipped and left for dead, but yet he got back up, and he stood in the promises of God, in the power of God, and he moved out and kept preaching the word. As long as God gave him life, he kept doing the will of God, and that was to proclaim the gospel and to do the Great Commission.
Amen. And one of the problems is so many churches today, they've taken their eyes off of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that. Well, they're not presenting themselves a living sacrifice unto God. You know, the Lord is not being sanctified in their hearts. They're not preparing. Their preachers aren't faithfully preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. You know, they are giving the people what the people want to hear. And the people love to have it so. The people are piling up themselves, heaping up themselves, teachers having itching ears. And all those things are happening. And so because churches are not separated churches, biblically separated as the Lord had called us to be, they have compromised. And what starts going by the wayside? Well, the gospel message starts to change, and the burden for souls and the purpose, doing what God has called us to do as a local church, as individual Christians, also has gone by the wayside. But thank God for the remnant. Thank God for his faithfulness, and thank God for those that are doing the will of God in 2016 by his grace, not just in Orlando, but throughout the world. And we praise God for that. Looks like we do have another caller on the line.
Actually, Pastor, he's off the air.
Off the air.
But his question is, what is the primary problem for the church today?
Okay.
And he'd like Pastor Searle to address that.
All right. Pastor Searle, what is the primary problem for the church today?
Well, I think one thing is we've got to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's been a shifting of that and away from the Word of God. This goes together. You know, if we're not in the Word, then our eyes aren't going to be upon Christ. If our eyes aren't upon Christ, we're not going to be in the Word. Or in a lack of prayer. If we're not in the Word, our prayer life is going to suffer. Because I don't know if you realize it, but I've experienced this, that when I read the Word of God, it leads me to prayer. Because the Word speaks to me. And then there's times when I have to get on my face and ask for, you know, and confess things that's been revealed to me as a result of reading the Word.
Yes.
So when we get away from the Lord and his Word and prayer and praise, those 101 things that are vital, then the emphasis of the Great Commission and the promises of God are going to be diminished, because the adversary is going to replace all that with the things of the world, the wisdom of the world, the intelligence of the world, which leads to failure and depression and all kinds of things, and fears and worries, because we're not, as Paul talks about, how we need to be established, steadfast in the Lord. So if the devil can get us away from these, the Word and Christ and the leading of the Spirit and those things, then it defeats the church.
Yes, by the way, the question looks like, I think it was from Pastor Jim.
Okay.
Pastor Jim Thomas. So if indeed that's the case, either way, a good question. Looks like there's another question. Are missionary boards necessary today for overseas missions? That's another question.
You know, I would say yes, because when you go into another country, there are requirements that the missionary has to meet. When I went to the mission field, I went under a mission board. Now, my local church has its own mission board, which I believe is biblical, and that's the way local churches should operate with their missionaries, you know, so the missionaries can go out under the local church and through their mission board under the auspice of the church leaders. But there are things that a country will require of you when you come to their countries, that make sure you're not going to be a terrorist, make sure you're not going to be a financial hazard to their country. And there are paperwork that need to be done, that if a missionary has to do all of it, he's not going to do much missionarying, if that's a word or not.
Well, it is now.
He's going to be in the government offices all the day, you know. So the mission board can be a great help to them. Now, if somebody wanted to go out on their own and can get into a country and meet all those, are they out from a local church? To me, that's where we see Paul and Barnabas, and they were sent out from where? From the church at Antioch.
Yes.
So they were under their auspices.
Yes.
In the Holy Spirit, in the head of the church, Christ himself.
Amen.
So to me, that's the pattern that we see in the New Testament that I think we should follow.
All right, brother. I appreciate the answers to those questions. Again, the phone number is 407-682-9595. You mentioned keeping your eyes on Christ to address one of the major problems of the church today. And in essence, that's it. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," those witnesses, those Old Testament saints, and the testimonies that they were, that are mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews, Paul says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
We've just got to be careful. Pastor, as we were talking about coming up here, is that we can't put any confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Because we'll defeat ourselves. And we have an old nature. We're totally depraved. There's not much going for us outside the mercy and grace of God. And so we've got to be dependent upon the Lord.
Amen. You know, Paul told Timothy, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." You know, that reminds me of Paul exhorting Timothy to live and to walk in the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." Mm-hmm. "And they shall turn away," verse 4 goes on to say, "they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And so many fables, so many fiction. Yeah. It's out there today, and it's in the churches, and it's in the homes, it's in people's hearts.
That's the reason why Paul said there in Corinthians that he had the care of all the churches upon him. Because he knew that once he left, the adversary was right behind him. He's going to plant his workers in there to try to destroy the church, destroy their faith. That's the reason why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, five times, Paul writes this epistle back to the young church at Thessalonica, and the thing that he was concerned about was their faith.
Mm.
Once he was cast out of Thessalonica,
mm-hmm.
But yet he wanted to know how they were doing, and so he sent Timothy back, and he brings this letter back, and the thing he wants to know about is their faith.
Mm.
Now, faith comes by hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And if the devil can defeat us in our faith and trust and dependence upon God, he's got a real hold on us.
Mm.
And then he can do a dastardly work in the hearts and minds of the people. You know, we were talking about man's soul, you know, is made up of his will, emotions, and his mind.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit that's in him has to control those areas.
Mm.
If not, then we can be weakened in our faith in the Lord. We can begin to doubt.
Yes.
Well, this has happened in my life, and I don't see any relief from it. Well, where's God? You know, God's not dead. He's still alive. He's just working in our lives. We just got to trust him. He's doing something that's good.
Yes.
Sometimes we see trials as something that's bad, evil, not for us. But if it's because of sin, that's true. But
right.
If it's because of God conforming us in the image of his son, it's for our good. God's a good God.
Amen.
And he loves his children.
Yes,
and
he
knows how to, you know, conform us into his image.
He does nothing but good.
Good.
Amen. And he knows what he's doing, and he does what's right. No doubt, you know, sometimes if, you know, our stubbornness, the Lord will go ahead and give us what we want for a time.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. And
amen.
A true child of God will be chastened. Hebrews 12 mentions those he's not chastening are those who are not his children.
Children.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, but they need to be born again.
Amen.
And so, yeah, Paul exhorts Timothy then, in essence, like he mentioned about the Thessalonians, he exhorted the preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I'm sure one of the reasons why the Lord has led you to have the Bible Training Institute there in Southern Palawan, so that men can be trained for the ministry.
Right. And we're seeing, I think we started out with 47 students. And we're preparing them for missions or to become pastors. And So far, some of them are out into our outreaches and laboring there, learning how to handle the word, you know, how to plant churches. And we even have our own mission board in our local church over there now for our young men to go out under, to go into mission. So the Lord is just fulfilling everything that we see in the scriptures as far as preparing our young men and providing an avenue for them to go out and to serve Him. And it's a work of faith, and what a privilege it is to trust Him by faith.
Yes.
Because then, as we know, then we're better able to really just walk with Him and trust Him.
Along the same lines as one of the recent questions, having been there, and how many years were you and your wife in Southern Palawan, Philippines?
Actually, we were there 8 years,
okay,
establishing the church. And then after 8 years, we had men trained to become our pastors and our deacons.
Mm-hmm.
We commissioned them. And then we turned the work over to them. Then we left and went and did another work, mm-hmm, came back home and worked in a couple churches in America.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we left that work, it was hard for us to do that. We cried, they cried. And the people really felt bad when we left because we spent so much time with them through, you know, developing it. But then afterwards, we found out when we went back the year afterwards to follow up on the work, they said, you know, your leaving was very hard for us, but they said that's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah.
We learned to stand on God's word, God's promises, and look to Him, you know. And in the times that you were here, you helped us. Now we had to trust God in those areas ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. What I was going to say is the question about what you see as the biggest problem in the church today, what are some of the problems that now the work is flourishing by God's grace? Mm-hmm. And we know the devil hates that. Not that we need to fear the devil. We don't. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. But we know he's a formidable foe, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the arch enemies of God, the arch enemy of God. And so with that said, being watchful, mm-hmm, being alert, spiritually circumspect, and so forth, preachers putting the brethren in remembrance of these things, these false teachings, what do you see or have you seen as some of the present challenges, mm-hmm, and ways in which the devil's trying to, whether it be a believer, to get them to backslide and, mm-hmm, to take their eyes off of Christ, mm-hmm, or to hinder that work?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, I think major thing is a lack of a copy of God's word in their language.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A lot of our people, especially in the outreaches, they don't have a copy of God's word. We go up, we preach the word, we teach the word, but I don't know about you, but I don't comprehend a whole lot after I hear, you know, a 45-minute or an hour message. But and so that even though they're saved and we're getting them the word, they don't have anything in their hands that they can look at, read, understand, and apply to their own spiritual lives and understanding who God is. Because a lot of them are animists, they're spiritists. And so we give them the truth, they get saved, but yet when trials come into their life, you know, how much grounding have they had in the promises of God without His word? Very little. So when we go out and go back to them, we have messages that we give to them, but sometimes, we're not scratching, we're itches, you know, because we're not with them sometimes enough to really realize,
right,
until later on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're able to come alongside with the word of God. So a copy of the scriptures is the main thing. And then in some of the areas, we got a new work up at Tub Tub. And I was just telling the pastor about this. But we made contact with them. And the chieftain is a full-fledged Muslim. And we've been going up there in the afternoons preaching the gospel. We had a revival meeting up there a couple, 3 weeks ago. And praise the Lord, the Spirit moved on this man's heart and he got saved.
Amen.
And his wife got saved. And now the village is... They're becoming saved. But now the opposition of the other Muslims around them is coming in against them to try to lead them back into their old ways. Like Brother Garrito down at Sarong, the Muslim witch doctor. Well, after his first save, everybody forsook him. His family, and then he became sick. He went blind, and they were saying it's because you forsook your practice, you know, Amul, and now you're serving this one called Jesus, and all these things are coming in on you. You just need to come back to your old way, and these you won't have all these trials. And so I'm sure there's a temptation there to think, well, maybe they're right.
Sure.
When you're losing everything, and things aren't prosperous. You know, it's the prosperity gospel people say. I mean, his life is falling apart.
Yeah.
But yet it's God at work, conquering him and establishing him in his faith and in his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, it's making a difference now. We're starting to see one here, one there get saved out there where he is. So it's a slow process, but those adversaries that come against our people, you know, can really defeat them if they're not careful. And so we pray for them and pray that we can get the Word of God
Amen.
Out into their language.
Amen. You know, Paul said to the saints at Philippi, of course, Paul was in prison himself when the Spirit of God inspired him to write this letter. And in verse 29 of chapter 1, he says, and this is basically what we're talking about. We're talking about the will of God, but you think about it's God's will mm-hmm. for the believer to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, that's God's will for you to believe on Christ and be saved,
mm-hmm.
but also to suffer for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a situation where, 5% or 50% or 70% of Christians are to suffer and the other 30% are not to suffer. No, every child of God is to suffer. It's the Lord's will.
Amen.
And now, obviously, there's manifold trials. Doesn't mean your trial, your testings are the same as mine. Mm-hmm. But that's what God does. He never tempts us to sin. We know that. He
right.
cannot sin. He cannot tempt us to sin. He can't be tempted with sin. He's
right.
impeccable. He's a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
But he does test our faith.
Mm-hmm.
He tries
mm-hmm.
us. And it's for his glory. It's for his good. It's for his work, what he's accomplishing. And so you sharing, again, a testimony of God's grace evident in that man's life
mm-hmm.
as he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's suffering,
mm-hmm.
his faith is tested, and Christ is shining through.
Yes.
What a joy.
And that's what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messengers of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul knew something about being abased. He said,
yeah.
being abased, there's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
You know why? Because the power of God rests upon me when I'm in that state. You know, and Paul said, I'd much rather have that than to have the blessings of, you know, of the world.
Yes.
And so he said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
Praise God.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
And how many of us want to lean that way? We much rather have the abundance, you know.
Our idea of abundance. And not knowing that the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, you mentioned already to the caller, to Dexter, Christ is our abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
All that flows from Christ is our mm-hmm. abundance. And it's limitless. It's infinite. And we just praise God for his faithfulness and for his spiritual blessings.
Amen.
Again, the phone number is, we have about 8 minutes left on the program today, 407-682-9595, 407-682-9595. And so, obviously, just to mention as a follow-up to what you just were talking about there in 2 Corinthians 12, for Paul's case, it was not God's will for Paul to be healed
mm-hmm.
in that situation, for that
right.
thorn in the flesh, whatever it is,
right.
to have been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people in the pulpits across our land, across mm-hmm. this world, to throw out there, it's always God's will for you physically to be healed.
Yeah.
And if you're not, it's because of a lack of faith or some specific sin in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Who would say that the Apostle Paul here mm-hmm. had lack of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, his faith wasn't perfect.
Right.
He mentioned in Philippians chapter 3 that he had not reached perfection. He was still pressing toward the mark.
Mm-hmm.
He was still growing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ was was his goal, his aim, and Christ's likeness was his life. He wanted to be grow in the abundance of the Lord's grace, being conformed to his image. But Paul was not living in specific sin here.
Right.
And it
Paul,
wasn't a lack of faith.
No, Paul said he was strong in his weakness.
Amen.
That's right. Man outside of Christ does not think that way.
No.
For sure. But Paul's saying it's contrary
Amen.
To the way that we think and feel and think should happen. But Paul understood, man, the power of God that rested upon him through his weakness. You know, Paul didn't want to work around it. He wanted God to work through him, you know, through those things. So his faith is very, very important for us to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen. So again, to recap a couple of things, the will of God for the Christian, of course, first, you must know, my friend, that you are a child of God. And if you're having doubts or you're just not sure or you were trusting in some emotional experience and you don't even understand the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to reach out to us. Not that we are the only ones you can reach out to. We want you to know what it means to be saved. We've given you the gospel. We're going to give it to you again. But if it's still not settled in your heart, you give us a call. All you have to do, you can call the station now, 407-682-9595. Mick will take down your number and your name. Don't need your address or anything else. And I'll follow up with you with a phone call and be happy to spend time with you with an open Bible. But understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. The Philippian jailer cried out in Acts 16 to Paul and to Silas, who, by the way, those two men were in prison with other prisoners. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And their response, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. And my friend, that's what you need to have settled in your heart, that you know that you're a child of God, that you've been born again. And Christian, knowing the will of God is available. God wants you to know it's not some mystical, hard to figure out mystery. It's simply doing what God wants you to do. Spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, living by faith, not by sight, being abiding in Christ, walking in fellowship, being spirit filled. Then that's exactly how not only are you going to know the will of God for tomorrow, you're going to be doing the will of God today. Again, by his grace.
Like somebody asked me one time, how do you know the will of God? And the basic answer I give to them is, you will know. You will know.
Yes. And Pastor Searles mentions that because the child of God has that confidence and that assurance from the Word of God and from the faithful ministry of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's not through their super intelligent reasoning and understanding. No. It's not man's wisdom. It's what the Lord is accomplishing in the hearts of his children. And we thank God, again, for him. Let's go back, brother, to Romans chapter number 12.
Okay.
Romans chapter 12, because I think this is vital in this discussion. Romans 12, we read verse 1, we read verse 2. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to verse 2. In fact, let's just read the two verses again. Verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Thank God for his mercy. The Bible says, that his mercies are new every morning. If it were not for his mercies, we'd all be consumed.
Indeed.
Great is his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
From the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And so I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, that you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And now this is why I wanted to turn back here. Verse 2, the first part. And be not conformed to this world. Now, he's going to go on to say in that verse that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we as God's children are, it's basically what we've been saying, but if we as God's children are focused on being conformed to this world,
mm-hmm.
there's no wonder that we're confused.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wonder that we are struggling with understanding what God's will is for our life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're focused on the world's way. You know, Pastor Minnick, years ago, he's with the Lord now. He did a message, and he was looking at the Greek word here, conformed, and it's where we get our English word schematics. And he was making the point of it means fashioned, being fashioned after the schematics of the God of this world, lowercase g, which is the devil.
Right.
And that's the God of this age is Satan, and he can't have the child of God's soul. You've been blood, if you're a believer, you have eternal life. You've been blood-bought.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is going to be able to take away God's salvation. No one's going to pluck you out of the Father's hand or the Son's hand by the grace of God. But the devil can definitely get children of God off track and get their focus and their attention on the philosophies of Satan. And we've talked before the program today about new evangelicalism and many dangers to the church, compromisers, and Christian of today is a far cry from what the Bible's teaching. In fact, it's prophecy being fulfilled, the last days of the church, of how, yes, indeed, as Paul said, that people will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap on themselves teachers having itching ears.
Mm-hmm.
But to know the will of God, we have to not, a negative here, we have to not be conformed to this world, and then a positive, it's not enough just not to be conformed to this world, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cannot neglect our personal devotions with the Lord. We cannot neglect that loyalty to Christ.
Right.
And it's allowing the Holy Spirit of God to do that work that only He can do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as you mentioned, the process of how this area of practical sanctification takes place in the life of a believer.
Right.
It's vital.
Yep.
There's no other way around it. So it's not a deep mystery. It's knowable and it's doable, because faithful is He who calleth you, who will also do it. And so, Christian, I hope you've been encouraged in today's program. And if, like I said, if you've got any questions, you know how to reach us. Give us a call during the week, go into our church's website, and you can get our phone number there. And we just thank the Lord for your time. I thank the Lord, brother, for your time today. And I pray that God would continue to bless you and your dear wife as you serve Him and those that you love as well. And listeners, again, we thank God that you've chosen to take this time with us. And just remember, keep looking up. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And be reminded, Christian, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which He saw in me, Paul says, and now here to be in me. Great is His faithfulness. Lord bless you. Join us again next week.
If you've been blessed by our time in the Word of God today, we'd like to hear from you. The church is located just east of the Orlando Fashion Square Mall at 4405 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida. The church's phone number is area code 407-894-0208. If you are attending a church that is a member of the National or World Council of Churches or is identified with the New Evangelical Movement, we admonish you to obey the clear command of Scripture and come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. Join with a Bible-believing church for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.